Today I'm proclaiming God's word from the Gospel, Luke chapter 12. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we together receive your word, fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we may be freed from greed and have joy with life with you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today I'm proclaiming good news from God's word. I'm proclaiming the good news that life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. You may have heard the expression, the one who dies with the most toys wins. Well, good news, that's not the way it is. We have the assurance, the good news from our Lord Jesus, that life is not about the abundance of possessions. We also have good news from today's reading that our Lord Jesus has power to free us from being enslaved to money and possessions. We can't free ourselves, but the Lord Jesus can. And the good news is that he is at hand to free us, to help us. More than this, there is good news that God gives us joy as we store up treasure in heaven. So great good news from today's reading from Luke. Let's get into the text. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." So Jesus in the Gospel has been teaching his disciples, but now somebody from the crowds yells out. Jesus is going to go back to teaching his disciples, but because of this interaction, he's about to tell a parable in relation to the voice from the crowd. Now, you may remember, in the Gospels, in Matthew, Mark and Luke, Jesus only teaches the crowds with parables so that they won't understand. But he unpacks the mysteries of the kingdom of God to his disciples. And that's what happens in this part of the Gospel. So get ready, we're about to hear a parable. Now, what's the problem that's presented to Jesus? Well, it's a common problem, the division of an inheritance. Sometimes families can get along together very well. Then somebody dies, there's property, and the people who had beforehand got on together well enough start to argue about the division of the property. Sometimes they argue because there's a large amount to divide and they want to get their fair share. Often there's also a symbolic quality to the way that property is divided. Well, this fellow calls out to Jesus for help. We can ask, well, why does he call out to Jesus? Part of the clue, I think, is in the form of address that the man uses. Did you notice he calls out to Jesus as Rabbi or Teacher? Jesus, you will be an impartial third party. What's more, you're well informed from God's word, so you'll be able to help settle this dispute. It seems, I think, on the one hand, like a sensible approach. But listen to how the text goes on, because Jesus discerns that something is not right. Jesus said to him, "Friend," in the Greek text, by the way, just man, human being, quite interesting, "who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" Jesus will not let himself be drawn into this conflict. Especially, it seems to me, because he recognises that he'd be dealing with people who are enslaved to mammon, to money and possessions. And he will not make himself a slave to money and possessions. Our Lord Jesus, who is truly free, will not do this. So he does not go ahead, but has words of warning. He said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Now, notice that these words aren't simply addressed to the man who asked the question, who asked Jesus to divide. They're addressed to all people who come to Jesus to help in dealing with money matters. Here's a word of warning for us, to take care, to be on guard. It's good for us to start thinking practically, by the way, about what this might mean. Practically speaking, in day-to-day life, how do we take care? How do we be on our guard? Now, think about this as the sermon progresses. Notice, by the way, that this teaching about greed, these warnings, are also given in our epistle reading today. So just quote again from the Colossians reading, in case you didn't notice it. There's a big theme going on here. St. Paul says, "Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly, fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient." Did you notice, by the way, how St. Paul links greed with idolatry, the worship of idols? Now, we're used to this as Lutheran Christians, as part of our own tradition, to think this way. Of course, it's in the scriptures, but also handed on to us in things like the Large Catechism. In Luther's treatment of the first commandment in the Large Catechism, he says, quite rightly, that a God is that which we put our trust in, our hope in, and that which we fear losing most of all. Of course, by this definition, there are no atheists, because everyone has a God of this sort. Luther says the most common God, small g God, is mammon, money or possessions. And he says the love of money sticks and clings to us even to the grave. This is a common idolatry, this greed that exists in the human heart and the human community. We need God, the true God, to free us from this idol. Now, Jesus does the work for us. First of all, by giving us his word. So think about it. The words of Jesus have power to free us from idolatry, to mammon, to money, to possessions, to all sorts of greed. He says this parable. "The land of a rich man produced abundantly." Okay, so there's a guy who's already rich. Now, what produces abundantly in this parable? It's the land that produces abundantly. The rich man could not make it rain. The rich man could not make the growth. The land, which he has, that produces abundantly. So I think we should already tune in as we hear the parable and think about how God is at work, first of all, in providing for this fellow who's already wealthy. So he has a superabundance. But listen to what happens next. "The man thought to himself, 'What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops.'" This man is not taking care. He's not being on his guard against greed. Practically speaking, because he does not think about God when he thinks about his abundance. Perhaps he was a wise farmer, which is why his land could produce well as he received the sunshine and the rain. But he does not consider God when he considers his possessions. So this should make us think. One way that we can take care and be on our guard is bringing the financial situation of our life to God and including God in our thoughts about our possessions. In fact, this fellow in the parable sees his wealth, his new abundant wealth, as a problem. "He's got nowhere to put it," he says. St. John Chrysostom, one of the early church fathers, in commenting on this text, said the fellow did indeed have a place to put his superabundance, and that was in the bellies of the poor. Plenty of room there. Plenty of things for the rich man to use, to hand on, I should say, his abundance in, the bellies of the poor. Now, this fellow thinks only of his wealth in terms of keeping it for himself. Listen to how the text goes on, Jesus' parable. He said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store my grain and my goods. And get a load of this. I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. First of all, the fellow does not consider God. But notice also that he does not consider his family or friends either. Another practical way to deal with money is to get the opinion of people who are close to us. Are we dealing wisely with our possessions? Or are we being sunk in greed? This parable inspires us to think about these things. They'd be practical steps. But rather than do that, the man in the parable makes a judgment about himself in the future. Who really has the authority to judge our souls? Only God does. But did you hear how this fellow talks about his own soul? As if he can determine its future? As if he can say, give his judgment about what will happen? He says to his soul, his word of judgment, eat, drink, be merry, relax. Everything's sitting pretty. He's acting as if life is about accumulating goods for the sole purpose of serving the body which is heading to death. In fact, this is how the parable goes on. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life, your soul is being demanded of you, and the things you've prepared, whose will they be? The man judged himself, judged his soul as having a bright future, entering into the good life. But God judged the man to be a fool. The Greek word in this text, by the way, is the same word that's used in Psalms 14 and Psalms 53, where it's written, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. God calls the man in the parable a fool, an idolater. And he also has a question for him. All those possessions, who will get them now? Now, from the context of the parable, we could say, who's going to get the wise man's, the rich man's possessions? His relatives, who will then fight about it, who themselves will be caught up in the idolatry of greed. Now Jesus ends his parable with these words. So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich towards God. It's folly to live life as if the goal is to accumulate money and possessions, when we have the opportunity to invest wisely with God. Now later on, when Jesus is speaking with his disciples, unpacking the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, he says these words, where he gives more practical help to us in fighting against greed and guarding against it. He says, don't be afraid, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Help those in need. Make purses for yourselves that don't wear out. An unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So selling from our abundance when we have it, and helping those who are in need, is a God-given way to guard against the greed which is an idol. And it's one that we even do in a simple way here in Bethlehem. You may have noticed we have the tradition at Lent and at Advent of giving to organisations that are there to help people in real need. So think about it during Advent. We have promotion of the Australian Lutheran World Service, an organisation that helps people who literally don't have clean water to drink. or a safe place to live, or enough food to eat. When we have abundance, we also have the opportunity to store up for ourselves treasures in heaven. And it's a practical way of guarding against greed and taking care. And so we can receive Jesus' word and think practically about what this might mean. Praying to God about it, speaking to others, family and friends, and giving alms. That is, helping those who are in need, especially as God has provided us with a superabundance in life. So that's a good path forward, and a practical path forward, it seems to me. But in all of this, we need to also remember that Jesus is not simply our teacher. Remember that at the beginning of this reading, the fellow from the crowd calls to Jesus as teacher, rabbi. Jesus is that, but he is not only that. He is a saviour. He's the only one, in fact, who can rescue us from greed. He who gave us this teaching was on his way to the cross to take upon himself our sin, including the sin of our idolatry, to greed. He has taken upon himself to assure our sin, to assure us that we are the treasured possession of God. Jesus' life, after all, in going to the cross, was not to gain money and possessions. By that standard, Jesus' life was a failure. But life is not about the abundance of money and possessions. Jesus went to the cross to gain our souls for God. So as God's people, let's live wisely, not putting our trust in money or possessions, or even in our own ability to live wisely when it comes to how we deal with money or possessions. Instead, let's put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who takes away our sin. In receiving his generosity and meditating on what he has done for us, let's experience the freedom that comes from the Spirit to see that we do not have to serve money and possessions. That we have a God who is generous, who blesses us also to be generous with others. Well, may God give us this path of life, because we have one who is not simply a teacher, but a saviour. And let's together put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name, amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.